Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, so we have local music starting this hour. We should play local music a lot. We're playing it in this case because the best economic guru on the radio on planet Earth is now with us. It's Brian Sullivan. Sully, CNBC, we need to get to his new show. Seems like he's pretty much on CNBC constantly, so I don't know why he needs another show. Did you recognize the opening tune as we bring you in on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline?
Well, thank you, and hello. I don't know about guru, but genius is appropriate. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Thank you. We'll talk about the new show in a second. I did not, if you could inform me. I kind of liked it. A little soft. Who was it?
I don't know either, Dave Harrigan. I was wondering if Sully was going to help me out. Who do we have?
Interesting. They've been around for a decade now. It's a Hippocampus out of St. Paul. 2013 they kicked off. The tune is called Buttercup.
So is that like the hippocampus of your body or like a university where like large waterborne mammals go?
I think that's it. It's hippo as in hippopotamus and then campus.
You know, it's like my favorite comedian in the world, Minneapolis's own, the late great Mitch Hedberg said, is it a hippopotamus or just a really cool opotamus?
I am a little familiar with Hippocampus, and I like some of their tunes. I don't think I've heard that tune before. I like it, though. Let's, if we ever actually play our own bumper music again, Dave, we normally just go with music themes, Sully. Today's music theme, by the way, Dave has found songs with the phrase State of the Union in said songs. We're playing those songs today.
Okay, seems appropriate given tonight.
Yes. So, if Joe Biden picked up the phone and called you and said, Brian, one of my approaches today is going to be honesty. I am going to be honest. And I want you to fill in the blank on this sentence. The state of the U.S. economy is, you would tell him what?
Extremely divided. I think extremely divided would be my answer. Does that make sense?
It does, and I thought you might go there. Is it always as divided as it is now? I know we've had times when it's been worse. I know we certainly have had times when it's better. It's never perfect. It's never a debacle. But how unique is this divide compared to many other times as you've observed?
Well, again, like you, I think you nailed it. I mean, the American economy has always been divided. Most economies are divided. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. There's rich, there's poor, there's middle class. So there's always going to be that aspect of it. I think when I say divided, I think it's because the effect of inflation is having such a dramatic toll on people in different ways. Because, listen, inflation's annoying for probably most of your audience. It's devastating for some of your audience, because and the president, listen, what the White House, and by the way, let's forget about, I don't want to pick on President Biden. He is the president. Now, I will say this. All presidents engage in electioneering, right? And tonight's going to be according to NBC News, a call for him to be reelected. Okay, so this is going to be electioneering. So there's going to be a lot of words and numbers thrown around that can be, I won't call them misinformation, but certainly misleading, right? For example, we're going to probably hear tonight that the unemployment rate is the lowest since 1969. And then that'll get a lot of applause. And that, while mathematically accurate, it's the only reason the unemployment rate is at the lowest is because so many millions have left the workforce. Unemployment rate is based on how many people are looking for a job or in the workforce. And the number of men in the workforce in 1969 was 80%. 80% of men were in the workforce. It's now 68%. Now, the percentage of women has obviously jumped a lot. But the percentage of the overall workforce is actually not that – is worse. So the unemployment rate's down because, you know, go around Minneapolis. I guarantee you everybody you talk to is having trouble 100%. Finding somebody, right? And you wonder, well, why – how is it so strong when you can't find a worker?
I'm glad you brought that up because I've read a couple lengthy stories about the male part of this. And you just nailed it with the numbers from 80% to 68%. So I know you have thoughts, but you also talk to a lot of smart people. And for this economy to pick up even further, where we take some of the divide out, it would be better if that 68 was 72% or 74%. What are the savvy people, Sully, who you trust say about a realistic path getting more men back in the workforce? Or does some say, guess what? This is, and I hate this phrase, but this is just where we're at. I'm not going to say new normal because I hate it, but this is just where we're at. We're going to have to now accept that 68 to 70% is where we're staying for the foreseeable future.
It's probably it. I mean, it might go down. I like to engage in manufacturing, which has traditionally, not always, but traditionally been sort of the non-college educated path toward middle class. I mean, that was always what we talked about for 50 years. Now, obviously, America got a huge boost after World War II. We're the only producer of ties because Germany and Japan were blown to smithereens. So we had unlimited pricing power in manufacturing for about 30 years in the American economy, which helped build the middle class. Now we've got competition, right, from around the world who can do it often a lot cheaper than we can. I mean, it's the high cost of cheap, as I call it. You destroy an American workforce so you can save $200 on a dishwasher, but that's a different issue. I've been engaged in some manufacturing organizations. They're really worried about this. You know, when you leave the workforce, your skills degrade, your motivation degrades. And what are we going to be able, you know, the president has talked a lot about reshoring and manufacturing in the United States, and let's hope we can do it. But we're going to need the people. Automation can only do so much. So will we get it? What's interesting to me, though, it's a little bit of a separate thing, is that what you know, everyone's comparing stuff to 1969 because the unemployment rate. People forget we had a major global pandemic in 67 and 68. It's amazing to me no one talks about this. 2.5 million people globally in 1968 and 69 died of this major pandemic. Over 100,000+ in the U.S. with a higher fatality rate for younger people than COVID. It never got any attention because the media just kind of ignored it on purpose. But we came out of a major pandemic in 67 and 68 and then had sky-high inflation in 69. You wonder, are they related? Because inflation was also out of control in 69.
Yeah, sure.
I need to do more digging on this. But it is amazing to me that we never – like, I've talked to really smart people. I have, like, multiple college degrees. I'm like, how about that 67, 68 pandemic? They're like, what? Like, it's the third worst pandemic in 100 years.
Can I just be really honest? I'm also what? I mean, I pay attention to this on a regular basis. It's not a matter I was too young, but I don't remember hearing about that so often in this conversation. I mean, you're going to cause me to look that up and get more familiar.
It was the avian flu. The current flu is that. Now, we didn't do anything about it. We didn't shut anything down. I'm not comparing the two, believe it or not. I'm not a scientist or an epidemiologist, although I actually was with my good friend who is an epidemiologist this weekend. And we were talking about it. But we're like, basically, it's amazing that no one remembers. It didn't hit America as hard. It was a couple hundred thousand people that by any estimates, that passed away. But back then, maybe 150,000 would be 300,000 wow. today, not
yeah.
insignificant.
Sure.
And a couple million worldwide. So I think the inflationary, it goes to the economy, the inflationary story, people leaving the workforce, you know, getting shut down, and then how do you come back in? It's a real issue. I mean, listen, you guys, Minneapolis, you go up to Duluth and all these places where they're, you know, making stuff and Best Buy and whoever it is, they can make stuff in the United States. I guarantee you they're having a hard time finding workers. So where,
no doubt.
How do we grow the economy? Yep. How do we grow the economy if we don't have a workforce? If you could answer that, you should be president.
Let me try this part of it. Remind folks, Brian Sullivan from CNBC, Sully, CNBC on the Twitter machine is with us. We're going to get to his new TV show coming up, but I'm going to get to life away from business before he goes. So great job numbers last week, 517,000 mm-hmm. jobs added. And the president is going to spend a lot of time saying, I've created more jobs than any president has ever created in any full term. So I want you to take me through this because, as you just stated, we're coming out of a pandemic and, you know, hopefully we never go back to where we were. But how much of this do smart economic people say it's unavoidable? Now, whether it was Trump, whether it was Biden, or whether it was President Sullivan, that this president during this time was going to create millions more jobs, because guess what? Millions were thrown out of their jobs versus guess what? It's more than just that. The Biden administration went above and beyond the reasonable expectations.
Okay. So this is kind of a hot button issue for me because, again, it goes to this idea of what's our time frame? How are we? There's a lot of things you can use with numbers that sound like you're doing one thing, but you're sort of telling another story. So here's the thing. And again, I don't want to make it about Democrats, Republicans, whatever. I think any politician, if they had these same numbers, would do it. I want to make that very clear. So we're going to hear fastest job growth in ever or in 2 years ever. Now, however you want to claim it, if you want to go to the bottom of the number of people employed in the United States, which was about 133 million at the depth of the pandemic, then yes, we have the fastest job growth in 2 years. I like to refer to everything as the before times. I think all economic measurements should be before the pandemic hit. And just before the pandemic hit, we had about 160 million people employed. We got about 160.3 million people employed now, something like this. Don't quote me on the numbers. So we've added a couple hundred thousand net jobs over 2.5 years. Maybe that's it. So you're going to hear we added 10, 20 million jobs because those are the people got furloughed and, to your point, got laid off. But again, it's mm-hmm. mathematically correct to say that. But I think, does that tell the actual story of what happened? I mean, if people are interested, I'll post the graphic to my Twitter account at SullyCNBC so you can see for yourself. We really haven't added that many net jobs since the pre-pandemic. We just got back to sort of where we were. I'm sure some of those are new jobs, but how do we know? I don't know. I don't have time to ask all a couple hundred thousand people, but it's a pretty, listen, the pandemic screwed everything up, right? I mean, screwed up lives, sure. Screwed up health, screwed up schools, kids missed schools. I mean, I hope we hear some of, I don't want to be political. I hope we hear some of that tonight. I hope we hear, we need to fix kids. We got a mental health crisis. We got kids in my town in New Jersey committing suicide. I mean, it's bad. Millions of kids are set back years in their education. I hope we hear some of that. Just what are we going to do to fix that? Because, again, we hear this, you know, did you hear the term the $130 billion to reopen schools? You remember that 2 years ago? We heard it all the time.
Yes.
You know, only about 25% of that has been spent, maybe 30%. So the $130 billion to, quote, reopen schools, most of that has not been not only not spent, but not only allocated, according to Burbio, which tracks this stuff. We're going to spend it for years to come. So that's the kind of stuff I think when you say a number, I think there has to be some context on it. I think the job market is strong if you've got skills. And there's still $1.7 trillion in excess savings out there. So people still have a lot of money, whether it's from what they saved by not traveling, COVID stimulus, PPP loans, because I feel like I'm the only person in America that didn't take a PPP loan. Like, I should have. You know what I mean? So there's still savings out there. We'll see what happens. I don't have
any. Okay, before we go,
by the way,
tell me about the upcoming show.
Yeah, and by the way, shout out to Tony, my new friend. I was skiing this weekend. Met him, Minneapolis guy. Grew up in Duluth, big fan of CNBC. Tony, it's great to meet you. If you listen, I told him to tune in, by the way.
Excellent.
So, yeah, the new show is going to be called Last Call. So I'm on in the early mornings now, in probably early March. Not yet a firm start date. Got a new show rolling out. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern. That is, I'm told, 6 p.m. Central Time. Last Call. It's going to take kind of what we just did. So it's going to be sort of less markety, because you get plenty of that in CNBC during the day. This is going to be about the intersection of policy, culture, money, maybe a little bit of music, maybe a little sports betting. And we're going to, everything we show is going to be data driven and statistically provable. That's my main thing. Whatever we say, we got to prove. And here, and show it to the audience. Here's your source, because there's a lot of, I'll use my initials, going around.
yes, there is. I was wondering, with the pause, where you might go. All right, 6 o'clock, data-driven, not just wonky market stuff.
No. And
we're about to talk a little. Yeah. Well, I think that should lead to more appearances on this show now that you're on later in the day.
I would love it. Love it. Anytime. Love Minneapolis. Love you guys.
Thanks, Sully. Sully, CNBC. He is excellent, and let's look forward to his show. Speaking of betting, the sports betting number, it's a record. It's always a record. The number, you take a guess. You text me at 651-461-9226. It's a record. How much money on the bowl will be wagered legally and illegally? What is your guess what the number is? I'd love to say I have some great prize for you. I don't. But what is your guess on the number of dollars? Legal, illegal, bet on the Super Bowl. Text me real quick. What's your guess? 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.